And welcome back to another edition of the Three Good Things podcast, where you guessed it, I talk about three good things. Today is August 20th, 2020, and today's been a day. Today has been a day. Right now it's 10:45 p.m. on the Pacific Coast here in California, and I have three good things for our podcast today. The first is actually by this guy I follow on Twitter, who has a blog. His name is Eric Jorgensen, and he writes about Naval Ravikant. And if you don't know who Naval Ravikant is, just Google him. I'm sure you've probably come across many of his sayings, teachings, and wisdom. And this article specifically is about the four biggest things that Eric has learned from Naval. Now, Naval has done many podcasts. The one that I like most, myself, personal preference, is the one that he did with Tim Ferriss. Both podcasts he did with Tim Ferriss, where he talks on a whole range of different subjects and his approach to many different things when it comes to wealth creation, time and money management, success, learning, AI, machine learning, etc., and how he goes about looking at these things and kind of his framework that he uses for life. But these are the four things that Eric learned from Naval. The first is jealousy can't be selective. This realization helped me reframe the reflex to jealousy into a reflection on myself. What does jealousy tell me about my values that I'm currently not living? And there's a book that a lot of this stuff is taken from, and that book is the Navalmanac, I think. The Navalmanac, which is the Almanac of Naval. And it has quotes from that book specifically, that are quotes of Naval talking about these things in detail. But that first one is basically saying jealousy should not be selective. Extreme outcomes are the result of extreme inputs. Being jealous of outcomes without being willing to take on those inputs is facepalm stupid. Makes 100% sense. Being jealous of someone else and not being willing to commit 100% to being that other person is pointless. There's no point to get to embody that jealousy, because all you're seeing is one facet of that human being. The second is don't seek risk, but take accountability. It's easy to seek risk, to go put it all on black or put it all on a red. It's also easy to minimize risk by never placing a bet. There's the famous saying that you'll never get injured if you don't go outside. Makes sense, but at the same time, you'll never live if you don't go outside, if you don't go outside of your comfort zone. Taking accountability is vital to building wealth. If you are not willing to be accountable, you will not be rewarded. The third is seek, build, and grow leverage to build wealth. The single word leverage is a fantastic summary of ways to extend your impact beyond a linear hourly input and output. If you think of your job as an input-output function, you input 40 hours for a week, and your output is your paycheck that you get at the end of that week, or maybe it's bi-weekly, whatever it may be. The tools of leverage help you accomplish more. So for example, take a product. Instead of doing 5-hour-long one-on-one meetings, spend 1 hour writing a document about your priorities and your principles for them to read at a later date, and condense those meetings into messages or texts and streamline those communications, because time is money. A bigger example, speaking about capital, this example is a friend is starting a very promising company. Instead of working at that company to get equity, you can invest your money and or help bring in other investors, earning a percentage of the value of the equity that capital would have bought. So it's more of a time commitment and less of a financial commitment, because it also shows that you're willing to put in the extra work of effort to go the extra mile. Another example is actually pretty articulate when it comes to laying out how to build wealth. Let's say you've taught yourself how to purchase fresh ingredients, create a great sandwich, and sell that lunch delivery service to companies. you earn, let's say, $40,000 a year doing this, creating incredible sandwiches and delivering those sandwiches to companies. By hiring one employee to purchase the ingredients and make the sandwiches, you, the person, can focus on selling your sandwiches to more companies, which at the end of the day becomes your most valuable skill, and your business can grow because now you pay your employee $40,000 to go get your ingredients and assemble the sandwich, and you earn $60,000 because you now have more business and you have a higher output that you can put out to your customers. So if you think of business and wealth in that sense, it makes sense to not look at it from a linear perspective, but in a growth perspective. The last is happiness as a choice. Now, I understand that that is a jarring statement, and there's many ways of interpreting that, but the fact remains, nothing outside of your own mind can have any effect on your own happiness. You have control of your interpretation of the events in your life, and you can choose whether to make them happy or unhappy. The skill of interpreting the events of the world to make you happier, or at least not unhappy, is indeed learnable. It's funny how life is a process of finding out how wise your parents actually are. Novel says the same things my parents did when I was 5 years old. It takes 30 years of repetition and life experience for things to set in. So those four things are applicable to anyone, I think, in any facet of their life. And they're four things that Eric learned by reading novels, Naval's book. And just wanted to share those with you here. And if you want to learn more about Eric Jorgensen and his blog and Naval Ravikanth, feel free to Google his name or check out the link on the tweet. Our second good thing of the day actually comes from Uber and Lyft. So if you haven't been following closely, there's been a bit of an interesting timeline when it comes to the ride-sharing companies. So here's a quick rundown of the facts. On August 6th, the California Superior Court, Ethan Shulman, hears arguments pertaining to the preliminary injunction. At the hearing, Uber and Lyft maintained that an injunction would require them to restructure their businesses in a material way that would prevent them from employing many drivers as full-time or part-time employees. For some context, basically what has happened is many of the drivers for Uber and Lyft have requested to be full-time employees because especially in a time now where there's less and less people that are driving Ubers and driving for Lyft, they don't have the same benefits that the Uber corporate employees or the Lyft corporate employees do because they're not corporate employees. They are essentially contractors. They're independent workers that are operating under Uber, operating under Lyft, but don't have access to the same benefits that others do that work at the same company. So that was August 6th. Lyft estimates it would cost hundreds of millions of dollars to simply process all the I-9 forms, verify employment eligibility, to just convert those people into full-time employees. Then, 3 days later, Judge Shulman grants that preliminary injunction, which goes into effect August 20th, 2020. And here's what he wrote in his ruling. The court is under no illusion that the implementation of its injunction will be costly. There can be no question that in order for the defendants to comply with AB 5, they will have to change the nature of their business practices in significant ways, such as hiring HR to hire and manage their driver workforces. So, what happens next? 3 days later, the CEO of Uber, Dara Khosrowshahi, says Uber will have to temporarily shut down in California if the court does not overturn this preliminary injunction. Lyft says it will follow suit and will similarly be forced to temporarily cease operations in California. 1 day later, August 13th, 1 week ago, Judge Shulman denies Uber and Lyft's appeal. Uber says it plans to file another appeal, while Lyft says it will further seek a stay from the state's appellate court. 1 day later, August 14th, Lyft files for an immediate stay in California's appeals court. And then 3 days later, August 17th, Uber files for an emergency stay in California's appeals court. Then, in August 19th, 2020, yesterday, San Diego and San Jose mayors call for the Court of Appeal to grant Uber and Lyft's motion and stay the injunction. So, That's a brief timeline, and it looks like earlier today, Uber and Lyft are temporarily still allowed to run until further notice. Here's what's important, though. In November 2020, November of this year, all Californians will vote on a ballot measure majorly funded by Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash. That's Prop 22. Prop 22 aims to keep gig workers classified as independent contractors. That measure, if passed, would make drivers and delivery workers for said companies exempt from a new state law that classifies them as W-2 employees. The ballot measure looks to implement a earnings guarantee of at least 120% of minimum wage while on the job and 30 cents per mile for expenses, a healthcare stipend, occupational accident insurance for on-the-job injuries, protection against discrimination and sexual harassment, and automobile accident and liability insurance. Basically making it so that the people who are independent contractors, the drivers for Uber and Lyft that many people use every single day to get to different places, will have some proper way of getting paid a little bit more while also having a healthcare stipend, insurance coverage, and protection against discrimination and sexual harassment, and automobile accident and liability insurance, which every person, every human being should have, especially if they are choosing to become an independent contractor for a company like Uber or a company like Lyft. Our third good thing actually comes from YouTube, from a couple of my favorite YouTubers who actually had not uploaded a vlog in 2020. I met this YouTuber, I think back in 2016, when I got to go with the company I was at the time. I got to go to Santa Monica, specifically the Los Angeles area, and I was there with my team of engineers and marketers and managers, but they didn't know who this YouTuber was because some of them were a little bit older. They weren't really familiar with YouTube, but I recognized him while we were at the restaurant, and I went over, talked to him briefly, met his family, and I would like to think very politely asked for a picture while they were done eating and were just about to leave. I didn't want to spend too much time talking to him because he was spending that time with his family. That person is Roman Atwood. If you don't know who Roman Atwood is, just search him on YouTube. He's a massively popular vlog channel where he vlogs with his family and does different pranks, different setups, etc. And him and his wife, or maybe girlfriend, Brittany, have some great news that they cannot hide anymore. And I'm not going to spoil the video, but this is one of the few videos they've uploaded in 2020, the one before this being from 2 days ago. And it's just great to see Robin creating content and having this joyous, wonderful announcement to announce in the YouTube video. If you want to check out the YouTube video, you can see it at the link in the Twitter, or you can go to YouTube and just search Robin Atwood Vlogs. Again, as always, thank you so much for listening to the Three Good Things podcast. This has been a great telling of the three good things for the day. Very happy for Robin, specifically for many different reasons. As always, thank you so much for listening and taking 10, 12, 15 minutes out of your day to listen to Three Good Things. I am incredibly grateful for everyone that listens to this podcast and just clicks play whenever they want. If you want to shout out to me on Twitter, my handle is @shardulgo. That's S-H-A-R-D-U-L-G-O. My DMs are always open, and let me know if you want to be a guest for a future episode. Again, thank you so much for listening to the podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow.